This is a production of Cornell University.
From Cornell University's well-renowned Turfgrass program, I'm Frank Rossi.
And I'm Carl Scamenti, and this is episode 21 of Turf Talk, brought to you in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. Turf Talk provides just-in-time, science-based recommendations for professional turfgrass managers in the Northeast U.S. So, Frank, it's been a lot of the same with the weather. Perhaps you could give us a rundown of the last week and maybe some perspective overall on how this year has been.
Carl, the summer's just not giving up. It is just not giving up. It's lingering on. The oppressive, warm, and humid conditions, you're hitting record heat advisory levels. You know, you sit there watching the Yankees at 10 o'clock at night while they're playing out in Oakland, and the heat advisory is still in the upper 70s. So, and of course, we're in the northern sections of this area, and what's so fascinating from a weather perspective, Carl, is it's widespread, how uniformly widespread. There's not that gradient of, oh, it's cooler here and cooler there. It's stinking hot in the Adirondacks, you know, and it's just as hot on Long Island. So we're getting the kind of heat indexes that even people in the desert don't regularly receive. So that's, of course, the backdrop to the fact it's been pretty hot for much of the growing season. I mean, I think when we look back, we're going to see it in the top 5% of warmest years ever. The growing seasons continue to get day after day longer, as they've done in the last decades, two decades. And of course, on the moisture front, it's feast and famine, as we've seen in the era of climate change. As R.D. Gaetano would say, these are the signals that climate change gives us about these prolonged dry periods, boom, followed by 20 inches of rain in, you know, over the course of the summer, when you normally have 4, 5, 6 inches a month, you're getting 10 to 20 inches a month. So it's just unbelievable, the extremes that we're getting, very typical of what we're seeing. And it looks like that's going to persist in the forecast moving forward. So that really lays the underpinning for how much stress is in the system and how careful we have to be for everything else.
Yeah. So you're going to talk again about, you know, the different pests and stress we're seeing. Even Pythium in Wisconsin in September, right?
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to Paul Koch at the turfgrass pathologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison tweeting out pictures of Pythium. Now, of course, where their research center is very fascinating. It gets flooded regularly now. They had quite a bit of water sitting over that field area. It's funny how many turf research centers got wiped out by bad weather this year. Boy, I think we lost the one in Arkansas. The people in UMass lost a bunch of stuff. So it's been a rough year across the board. But and pests are no different, Carl. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Pythium in Wisconsin in early September indicates the pressure we're getting from foliar pathogens. These high dew points, you know, are just bringing everything alive. And now, well, time to what we typically see with the fall dollar spot infestation, the kind of dollar spot that pits those plants down to the ground, now are very concerning. But you also have brown patch and Pythium risk based on our forecast risk models at our forecast website. You know, again, most of the time, I wouldn't consider these things lethal under normal conditions, but gosh darn, they're taking plants out now. So obviously be mindful of your fungicide program as you start to lose turf. If the algae comes in, you know, you're going to have to find ways to keep that at bay. So drying out that surface with fans and top dressing, non-invasive spiking, I think is the key. There also are other pest problems out there. We don't want to just talk diseases. Crabgrass lawns continue to look pretty good throughout the Northeast. Nutsedge now is breaking through. You're getting regermination of nutsedge plants with all this moisture in the system. And of course, now we're starting to see the white grub eggs being laid. And so you could expect now, in short order, either young instars that'll be very susceptible to our parasitic nematodes, if you're going to go that route at the school district level, or soon, if you want to do some soft curative applications of acelaprin where that's available to you. No shortage of items to discuss in the pest area, Carl. And so that makes sort of how we're thinking through the next couple of weeks really important.
Yeah, and so we're going to look forward to these keys to success in the upcoming weeks. And you already mentioned a little bit of it. It's going to be water management again, right?
Yeah, I mean, the foliar pathogens, the dew points that we're seeing, the amount of moisture in the atmosphere, you know, just like the moisture that's between your toes where the athlete's foot grows, right? I mean, you're going to have fungi where there's persistent moisture, period. Microbes are going to thrive in those environments. Nutrient-rich, right? There's plenty of nutrients on those surfaces. There's plenty of opportunity for them to hide under leaf surfaces and in organic matter. So you're going to have really good growing conditions for fungal growth. So obviously, that is one of the things about keeping things dry from just a pest perspective. Now, from a, you know, use perspective, the drier those surfaces are, the better they're going to take the traffic. Once you lubricate them, I mean, it's good for them to be a little bit lubricated, and you don't mind some of that humidity. Sometimes the ball skids a little bit better. But the problem is, unless you have good footwear, you're going to do a lot of slipping at the surface. So this is where athletes are going to wear more aggressive cleats, because the surface is going to be slicker. And furthermore, if your surface is moist, now your cleats are going to start ripping stuff up, because they're now lubricated to sort of tear in there a little bit more. So across the board, Carl, we're going to say that water management is still the key to success here into September. The best thing to do is not look at the calendar. The worst thing you can do is pay attention to the month and day of the year, and just look at what the weather conditions are outlining for you and the opportunities that they have, the opportunities that they're affording you, because I think the things you should be doing are few and far between, and we'll take that up as you and I become sages again.
Yeah, that's right. So looking forward to the sage advice. You know, you already kind of mentioned that people who go on a calendar basis may be looking at renovation or seeding, and this is kind of when they normally do it in terms of the calendar year, but maybe you have some advice for those people.
Well, I think what we're seeing is obviously conditions, and we saw this last year in late October in the fall conditions. We're seeing these sort of persistent summer conditions into the latter part of the year. You know, obviously, let's go back for a second, Carl. I mean, it was spring, and then the next day it was summer.
Yep.
I mean, it was just an immediate shift to summer. There was no ability for plants to acclimate. And these things are so critical for our grasses that are regularly growing and regenerating plant material that though they have some period of time for acclimation. So that lack of acclimation now after a tough summer, you've got plants that are on, I want to say, life support in some way. Mm-hmm. And typically, what would you do? Well, you'd beat them up now, and you'd look on Twitter, mm-hmm. and everybody and their brothers aerifying things, and it's 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like we have to be more careful, and the sage advice for the week is now patience. I would tell you, you just have to be patient and wait for the nights at least to get cooler. You know,
yeah.
I don't care so much if it's 90 degrees during the day, but when it stays 75, 80 degrees in upstate New York, you know, at this time of year at night, and the humidity's really high, and I'm sleeping like it's July because it's I don't have an air conditioner in my house. So, you know, it's just tougher to sleep. When you're having those conditions, you know, you don't want to be pushing your plant or the proverbial burning the candle at both ends,
mm-hmm.
right? If the plants are not getting that recuperative period in the nighttime hours from the cool temperatures, they're under intense foliar pathogen pressure during the day. They're getting torn up from the moisture that's sitting in that system. The weather is not going to look good for another week or two. Beating them up and doing the things you normally do simply because that's what the calendar says is probably not what a good sage would tell you to be the best thing to do. So I would say just try to be as patient as you can. And if it does you any good, work around the edges.
Yep.
Right. Work where the grass is thriving. Work where the traffic isn't. Do things away from where the turf is the most stressed. If you really want to keep busy, you can do other projects, because before you know it, the leaves will be falling.
Yep. Well, as always, Frank, thank you for the sage advice. We will all be patiently awaiting next week, when hopefully we're sitting here not talking about the same thing, but chances are that won't happen. And again, thank you to all our listeners for listening to the 2018 Turf Talk podcast series, brought to you just in time by us at Cornell University in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. You can find us online at turf.cals.cornell.edu and on Twitter and Facebook at Cornell Turf. As always, we'd love your feedback and encourage you to join the conversation by leaving a review or comment. For Turf Talk, I'm Carl Scamenti.
And I'm Frank Rossi. Have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.